Random House Audio presents Dark Pools, High-Speed Traders, AI Bandits, and the Threat to the Global Financial System by Scott Patterson. Read for you by Byron Wagner. Had there been full disclosure of what was being done in furtherance of these schemes, they could not long have survived the fierce light of publicity and criticism. Legal chicanery and pitch darkness were the bankers' stoutest allies. Ferdinand Pecora. Prologue. Light Pool. Loudspeakers boomed Eminem's hit single, Without Me, as Dan Matheson stepped onto a low-slung dais in the glitter room of Miami Beach's exclusive Fontainebleau Hotel. Greeting Matheson, the applause of hundreds of hedge fund managers, electronic traders, and computer programmers. The driving force behind a digital revolution that had radically transformed the United States stock market. They had descended on the Fontainebleau for the annual Credit Suisse Equity Trading Forum to rub elbows, play golf, swap rumors, and bask in the faded glory of the hotel where stars such as Frank Sinatra, Elvis Presley, and Marlene Dietrich had once sipped cocktails and lounged in private poolside cabanas. Smartly clad in a light blue cotton shirt and charcoal gray suit, sans tie, a soft pink Credit Suisse logo illuminated on the wall behind him, Matheson was pumped. He loved the Miami Beach Conference. Over the years, it had become the Woodstock of electronic trading. Closed to the press, the March 10, 2011 gathering was a private congress of wealthy market wonks who'd created a fantastic Blade Runner trading world few outsiders could imagine. A worldwide matrix of dazzlingly complex algorithms, interlinked computer hubs the size of football fields, and high-octane trading robots guided by the latest advances in artificial intelligence. Matheson was an alpha male of the electronic pack. In another life, the bespectacled 5'7 one-time trader would have been teaching students quantum physics or working for mission control at NASA. Instead, starting in 2001, he'd devoted himself to building a space-age trading platform for Credit Suisse called Advanced Electronic Systems. He was an elite market plumber, an architect not of trading strategies or money-making schemes, but of the pipes connecting the various pieces of the market and forming a massive computerized trading grid. Plumbers such as Matheson had become incredibly powerful in recent years. Knowledge of the blueprints behind the market's plumbing had become extremely valuable, worth hundreds of millions of dollars to those in the know. The reason? A new breed of trader had emerged who focused on gaming the plumbing itself, exploiting complex loopholes and quirks inside the blueprints, like card counters ferreting out weaknesses in a blackjack dealer's hand. Matheson was keenly aware of this. Since launching AES, he'd been a first-hand witness of the powerful computer-driven forces that had irrevocably altered the face of the stock market. He'd created AES's original matching engine, the computer system that matched buy and sell orders, which by early 2011 accounted for a whopping 14% of U.S. stock trading volume, nearly 1 billion shares a day. He was the brains behind Gorilla, the first mass-marketed robot trading algorithm that could deftly buy and sell stocks in ways that evaded the detection of other algos, a lethal weapon in the outbreak of what became known as the Algo Wars. Operating in 40 countries across six continents, AES was a money-making machine. In 2008, a year when most of Wall Street was single-mindedly engaged in the act of self-destructing, AES had pulled in about $800 million, making it the most profitable arm of Credit Suisse. That number, that $800 million, was just one reason among many why Matheson's words on that Miami Beach stage meant serious business. But while the Miami confabs had always been about business, they were also about celebrating. They typically involved a conga line of cocktail parties, pool parties, and dance clubs. In years past, after the day's long string of speeches and presentations, Matheson's right-hand man, a charismatic, larger-than-life sales machine named Manny Santayana, would troll the local clubs, pick out the best-looking local girls, and tell them about the real party, packed with millionaire traders looking for a good time. Santayana always joked that he never threw parties. He threw networking events at a socially accelerated pace. Santayana was king of the socially accelerated pace. He ran poker tournaments for traders in the exclusive Grand Havana Room in Manhattan, dinners for bankers at the Versace Mansion in Miami Beach. All year long, there were networking events at a socially accelerated pace around the world. In Tokyo, Singapore, Zurich, London, Oslo, Paris, Hong Kong. But an iron rule on Wall Street is that every party leads to the inevitable hangover. As Matheson looked out over the audience, he knew Santayana wouldn't be trolling clubs for beach blonde babes this year. A freakish stock market crash on May 6, 2010, the so-called flash crash, had revealed that the computer-driven market was far more dangerous than anyone had realized. Regulators were angry. Fund managers furious. Something had gone dramatically wrong. Senators were banging down Matheson's door, wanting to know what the hell was going on. A harsh light was shining on an industry that had grown in the shadows. Matheson was ready to confront the attack. He hit a button on the remote for his PowerPoint presentation. A graph appeared. A jagged line took a cliff-like plunge, followed by a sharp vertical leap. It looked like a tilted V, the far right-hand side just lower than the left. "There's the flash crash," he said. "We all remember that day, of course." The chart showed the Dow Jones Industrial Average, which took an 800-point swan dive in a matter of minutes on May 6th due to glitches deep in the plumbing of the nation's computer trading systems, the very systems built and run by many of the people sitting in the glitter room. The audience stirred. The flash crash was a downer, and they were restless. It was going to be a long day full of presentations. Later that night, they'd be treated to a speech by the Right Honorable Gordon Brown, former Prime Minister of the United Kingdom. Ex-Clinton aide James Carville would address the group the following morning. It was nothing unusual. Past keynote speakers at the conference had included luminaries such as former Federal Reserve Chairman Alan Greenspan, former Secretary of State Colin Powell, and the one-time junk bond king Michael Milken. Matheson hit the button, calling up a chart showing that cash had flowed out of mutual funds every single month through 2010 following the flash crash. Legions of regular investors had become fed up, convinced the market had become either far too dangerous to entrust with their retirement savings or just outright rigged to the benefit of an elite technorati. "This is pretty damning," Matheson said soberly, noting that the outflows continued even as the market surged higher later in the year. "Even with a historic rally, mutual fund outflows continued through December. This is cause for concern in the U.S. Matheson hit the button. A grainy photo of President Barack Obama appeared, along with his notorious quote from a December 2009 episode of 60 Minutes. "I did not run for office to be helping out a bunch of fat cat bankers on Wall Street." Matheson's point was clear. The feds are going to come down on this industry like a sledgehammer if we don't fix the system from within fast. "We have to do something," he said. The heart of the problem, Matheson explained, was that fast-moving robot trading machines were front-running long-term investors on exchanges such as the New York Stock Exchange and the NASDAQ stock market. For instance, if Fidelity wanted to buy 1 million shares of IBM, the bots could detect the order and start buying IBM themselves, in the process driving up the price and making IBM more expensive. If Fidelity wanted to sell 1 million shares of IBM, the bots would also sell, pushing the price down and causing Fidelity to sell on the cheap. To escape, the victims of the front-running were turning to dark pools. "Why are people choosing to send orders to dark pools instead of the displayed markets?" Matheson asked his audience. "They're choosing dark pools because of a problem in the lit markets." A controversial force in the market in the 2000s, dark pools were private markets hidden from investors who traded on the lit pools, such as the NYX.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?